Hi, it's Ruth McCauley returning with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, August 18th. We begin with some of the funeral notices that appear in the Decatur Herald and Review today. Stephen Lynn Jones, 61, of Decatur, passed away on Sunday, August 14th, in his residence. No formal services will be held and cremation rites will be accorded. Dawson and Wyckoff Westwood Street Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Craig S. Kroll, 56, of Decatur, died on Monday, August 15th. Graveside services will be held tomorrow at 1 p.m., that's Friday, at Graceland Cemetery. Arrangements are being handled by the Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Nancy L. Phillips, 75, of Decatur, died on Monday, August 15th. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, tomorrow, at Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and burial will take place at a later date. Arrangements are being handled by the Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Billy K. Powell, 85, of Decatur, died on August 10th. A graveside service will be held, that's happening today. It happened this morning at Graceland Cemetery. Arrangements were handled by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Memorial donations in Billy's name may be made to the Grace United Methodist Church. Calvin Singleton, 77, of Decatur, departed this life on Monday, August 15th, at McKinley Court Nursing Home. Services celebrating his life will be held tomorrow, Friday, at 11 a.m., August 19th, at the House of Miracles Pentecostal Church, 441 North Church Street, with visitation from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Burial will be at the Greenwood Cemetery. Professional services were entrusted to the Walker Funeral Service. Ann Warner, 71, of Decatur, passed away on Tuesday, August 16th, at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. A prayer service will be held at 1 p.m. on Sunday, August 21st, at Holy Family Catholic Church in Decatur, with visitation to immediately follow until 2:30 p.m. at the church. She will be laid to rest following services at the church at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday at Calvary Cemetery in Mattoon with her husband Charles. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials be made to Maranatha Assembly of God or Holy Family Catholic Church. Jesse J. Chapman, 83, of Moequa, passed away on August 16th in Heritage Manor, Pena, Illinois, surrounded by her family. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, August 19th, in the Oddfellows Cemetery in Moequa. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, August 19th. That's tomorrow. Pardon me. In Sites Funeral Home in Moequa. Memorials may be made to Prairie Cardiovascular of Decatur. Howard R. Walden, 63, of Shelbyville, died at 8:47 p.m. Tuesday, August 16th, in Life's Journey, Mattoon, Illinois. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, August 20th, in Howanyaki Funeral Home in Shelbyville, with Gary Crowder officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. Casual attire is requested. Burial will be in Glenwood Cemetery in Shelbyville. Memorials may be given to the food pantry at the First United Methodist Church in Shelbyville, Illinois. We turn now to the opinion page of the Decatur Herald and Review, and we'll first read an editorial written by the editors of the Decatur Herald and Review. Fairgrounds Foundation, Right Move. Agriculture Day at the Illinois State Fair was an appropriate time to take the bull by the horns and announce creation of a private foundation to oversee capital improvements to the state's two fairgrounds. Bull, indeed, given the unnecessary wrangling over a similar proposal in the Illinois General Assembly. The new nonprofit foundation, announced by Governor Bruce Rauner, will be led by members of the state agriculture community, with Agriculture Secretary Raymond Poe as a non-voting member. The Illinois Fairgrounds Foundation, according to a statement from the governor's office, will be led by a volunteer board representing a diverse cross-section of the agriculture industry. Board members will engage with private sector business organizations and individuals to help to develop strategies to raise private funding, coordinate with the Department of Agriculture to plan projects and determine the fairgrounds' needs, and serve as ambassadors for the revitalization and improvement of the fairgrounds and their agricultural heritage. A lot of words that boil down to common sense. Some people talk and some people do the work. We'll take care of our own grounds. Thank you very much. Private foundations are not unheard of in connection with state entities. ISU Foundation, for instance, distributes gifts and manages the portfolio of the Illinois State Endowment. The state fairgrounds in Springfield and DuQuoin both receive state money, and their care is overseen by state workers. But because of budget constraints, the buildings and grounds get far less care than they need. That's both dangerous and a black eye to the state when a lack of care is visible to the thousands of year-round visitors at each location. Both fairgrounds have a backlog of maintenance that approaches $180 million, with up to $14 million of that needed at DuQuoin. Neighboring states, including Iowa, Indiana, and Missouri, have similar foundations. We can't overly rely on state funds to maintain these facilities, Rauner was quoted as saying in March. We've got to come up with creative solutions that don't pressure our taxpayers more. A private foundation can carry its own risks, namely a lack of transparency in how and with whom it does business. But dozens of private companies already support both fairgrounds and dozens of programs. Not only is it good business for a dairy company, for instance, to provide money for a dairy barn and dairy shows, but it's also great advertising for potential consumers who otherwise may not be familiar with your business. The private foundation is a solid step toward keeping our fairgrounds safe and attractive. You can't harvest a field without planting a seed. We turn now to back to the Decatur Tribune and pick up some letters to the editor. The first letter is signed by Roy D. Jordan of Decatur, and it carries the headline, Memories of Ron Hoffman, Chaps Amusement Park. Dear Editor, read your articles on Big Ron Hoffman and the Decatur celebration, and it recalled a memory for me. I have been to all the celebrations. The very first one I was at, was at the corner of William Street and Water Street, and Big Ron Hoffman and a couple of friends came by and started to sing and play. They had a big crowd, as I remember. I don't know if they were part of the celebration or not, but they were pretty good entertainers that night. I don't remember any of the other acts. There was another Ron Hoffman that went to school at the same time. He was a lot smaller than Big Ron Hoffman, so to tell them apart when they were not around, they were nicknamed Big and Small Ron Hoffman. Guess one nickname stuck. As I read about Chaps Amusement Park, I remembered when my parents took me there. The thing that I remember about the park is that they sold a slice of watermelon for 5 cents. I ate it by holding it and getting it all over my face. This was about 1946 or 1947, so I guess I was about 11 or 12. I have a lot of fond memories of Decatur and like to tell the younger people what they missed. A letter to the editor sung by Roy D. Jordan. We're getting nostalgic here. Our next is a letter written by Patricia E. Bayer, I guess. It's Brayer, B-R-A-H-I-E-R, of Decatur. And it has the headline, "Why do some people feel so entitled?" Dear editor, greedy, not needy. Why do people feel so entitled? I was disgusted to read in Sunday's paper about a woman who had come from Findlay, Illinois, for the free school supplies and backpacks at the Decatur Y. She and her family had been on vacation and missed the free school supplies her employer was giving out for the needy children in Findlay. How can you afford a vacation and not school supplies for your children? Shame on that woman, people like her. Letter to the editor, signed by Patricia E. Brayer of Decatur. Okay, our next letter is from Susan Sack of Mendota, and it carries the headline, "Elected officials should continue to find funding for infrastructure improvements." Dear editor, I applaud state political representatives for working to improve Illinois' infrastructure. I agree that creative measures must be taken, but in these times of land grabs for private gain, I plead that the long-term future of the state be weightily considered. Illinois relies heavily on agriculture for economic stability. A majority of Illinois jobs are tied to agriculture, from agriculture and chemical companies to anyone in the banking, transportation, food, lumber, and textile industries. Many are tied to farming. Farming is the backbone of our country, but it can't be done without the soil we are fortunate to have in this fertile part of the world. Farmable land is a valuable non-renewable source. Each acre taken out of production affects the community, the job market, and the world economy. Our area has been bombarded with projects wanting to take farmland out of production. Wind and solar projects, which rely heavily on federal subsidies and could quickly fall out of favor, as they have in many European countries, threaten to alter the farmable soil forever. I realize infrastructure needs to be improved, but in the case of private speculative projects, such as long-haul DC transmission lines, RICL and GBE, I don't know what that stands for, and toll roads to slightly shorten freight hauling time, GLB, the lack of proven need should be enough to stop any land grab. When infrastructure projects are not initiated by the industry, in these cases power companies and existing railroads, and are not proven necessary, they are an unnecessary threat to the community and farmland. I urge our elected officials to continue finding creative funding for infrastructure improvements, such as the privately funded toll bridge recently announced to improve intermodal traffic. I also ask they be critical of the speculative land grabs trying to take advantage of federal money and provide a service there is absolutely no need for. Okay, a letter to the editor signed by Susan Sack of Mendota. And our next letter is written by Albert Sunderlich, who just lists himself as a Central Illinois resident. Why not convert mall to combination office and retail center? Dear editor, a revitalized Hickory Point Mall could have a positive impact for Macon County and Central Illinois. Instead of trying to fill empty spaces with more retail shops, why not convert the mall to a combination office and retail center? Federal, state, county, and municipal offices, along with retail establishments, could occupy the mall. The mall could be renamed the Hickory Point Center. It could be a practical solution to have a campus of governmental offices under one roof. A post office could also be included. The project could spur enough development that the vacant lot west of the Hickory Point Mall could also be developed into more office and retail establishments. This project could tie in with the Midwest Inland Port. And again, this is a letter to the editor of the Tribune from Albert Sunderlich, a Central Illinois resident. We turn now to some upcoming events and meetings that may be of interest that appear in the Decatur Tribune online. The first is about the Friends of the Decatur Public Library, who will have their annual used book sale on September 4th and September 5th at the Decatur Civic Center Arena. On Sunday, the sale is open to the public. I don't know which of those dates is a Sunday. The 4th or the 5th, but is open to the public from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Hardback books are $1, paperbacks are 50 cents, and special books are as marked. On Monday, the sale is from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., so I guess September 4th is a Sunday, Monday is September 5th. And the sale on Monday is from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., all books are a half price or $5 a paper bag. There is an early sale on Sunday, September 4th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for paid members of the Friends of the Decatur Public Library. Memberships may be purchased at the door starting at $15 for individuals or $25 for a family. The Decatur Municipal Band Concert will be held on Monday, August 22nd in Central Park in downtown Decatur. The concert Summer Series Recap will begin at 7 p.m. and will feature Dennis Jones on trumpet and Molly Shade, vocalists. The Decatur Senior Center at 1430 North 22nd Street in Decatur will host an ARP, AARP, Smart Driver class on Thursday, August 25th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Wow, that's a day. Class fee is $15 for members and $20 for non-members. For additional information or to register, call Leslie at 217-429-1239. Decatur-Macon County Opportunities Corporation, DMCOC, is sponsoring classes for low-income persons interested in obtaining basic computer skills. The next class will begin August 22nd and will meet from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. or noon on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Classes will end on or about September 14th. The training will include instruction in keyboarding, computer basics, using Internet, Windows 10, Microsoft Word, and Microsoft Excel. Certificates of achievement will be awarded once the training has been completed. There is no charge for the training. However, potential students must meet income eligibility guidelines, which will vary depending on family size. For a family of three, income cannot exceed $6,300 gross for the past 90 days. To apply, contact DMCOC at 428-0155. For an appointment. Appointments will be taken the week of August 16th, so they're taking them right now. Seats will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis. Funding for these classes is provided through the Community Services Block Grant. in, the Macon County Animal Control and Care Center has announced that cats and kittens can be adopted for only $25 for the entire month of August. The shelter currently houses 168 felines, many of which are kittens and are searching for loving homes. All pets are spayed or neutered up to date on age-appropriate vaccinations, microchipped, have been given medication for both internal parasites and fleas, and have been tested for feline leukemia. Wow, so they are ready to pack up and take home. Adoptions are done through an application process. Once an application is filled out, it can take up to 24 hours to be approved. Applications can be filled out in person, via fax if requested, and online at www.dmcasf.org under the Adoptable Pets tab. This special was made possible thanks to the Decatur and Macon County Animal Shelter Foundation in partnership with Macon County Animal Control and Care Center. That's pretty cool. And August, I don't know if you know this, August is National Immunization Awareness Month. The purpose of this observation is to highlight the importance of immunizations, one of the top 10 public health accomplishments of the 20th century. The beginning of the school year, well, it's not just around the corner, it's here. And it is essential that parents are checking their children's vaccination records and are keeping up to date on all of the required shots. There are many preventable diseases still taking the lives of those around us, said Dr. Jengesh Modi, an infectious disease physician with the HSHS Medical Group at St. Mary's Hospital. It is very important for people to make sure they are getting the vaccines they need to prevent these diseases. With school getting started, be sure to use the resources provided by your primary care physician or the surrounding community, he urged. Colleagues from, oops, it looks like we've missed some of the special, this is a little older article than I thought, we've missed some of the special clinics that were set up. I hope you all didn't miss them. If you need to get kids ready for school, because a lot of them are started this week. Hard to believe. Summer's over. I'm turning now to the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review to pick up some of the local briefs for Thursday, August 18th. That's today. First is from Cerro Gordo Veterans Park. The village of Cerro Gordo will dedicate a new veterans park at 2 p.m. Saturday, August 20th. The site, south of the high school football field, features a pond and seven flagpoles and will eventually have a veterans memorial and donors wall plus a pavilion. For more information or to donate, email Ivan Williams at cgvetsmemorial@gmail.com. In Taylorville, an 82-year-old Taylorville woman was injured Wednesday afternoon when she drove off Illinois 48 and her car overturned, according to the Illinois State Police. Written reports say Evelyn B. Sisko was taken to Memorial Medical Center in Springfield for injuries that were described as non-life-threatening. The accident happened at 2:21 p.m. as Sisko was northbound about a mile south of the Taylorville Airport. Police said she veered off the left side of the road for unknown reasons and plunged into a ditch. The crash remains under investigation. And free physicals, the Healthcare Ministry of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church will be providing free back-to-school physicals. Okay, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, August 20th, in the church at 530 West Mound Road. Local health care providers will be conducting the physicals for school-age children. Parents, guardians must be present with their child. Sports physicals will not be performed. In collaboration, the Macon County Health Department will be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. the same day to provide back-to-school immunizations. All of that's good to know, so that's coming up this Saturday. Call 217-875-1730 or visit www.antiochdecatur.org. A Decatur man is accused of cashing 7 fake payroll checks at a Decatur liquor store and pocketing almost $5,000. The 33-year-old suspect was arrested Tuesday on preliminary charges of forgery. Sworn statements from Decatur police said the checks, which date back to 2011, had been cashed in JB's Liquor at 1301 North Calhoun Street. The store owner told police he had tried to safeguard himself by asking for photo identification. A party assault in Forsyth. A Decatur woman who allegedly hit an 11-year-old girl and shoved to the ground. I don't know who got shoved to the ground at a birthday party hosted at a Forsyth Hotel swimming pool, was arrested on Friday morning. That's last week. Police statements noted the child was attacked June 3rd at the Home and Suites pool, but Macon County Sheriff's deputies were unable to find the 24-year-old suspect until Friday. She was booked on a preliminary charge of aggravated battery. The girl told police the suspect had grabbed a ball she and her friends were playing with and refused to give it back. She then bit the girl's hand, breaking the skin, when the child made a grab for the ball in the pool. The girl got out of the pool, and it's alleged the suspect shoved her backward by her face, causing her to slip and fall over. Oh, dear. And, oh, not a great article to end on, but an inmate is accused of dumping a cup full of urine on another inmate in the Macon County Jail and is now facing a charge of aggravated battery. Sworn police statements said the incident happened Friday evening during a dispute between the suspect, 20 years old, and the targeted inmate, who is 18. The sworn statement said the suspect later told correctional officers he had thrown diluted coffee, not urine, but corrections officers said the liquid had the color and smell of urine, and multiple other inmates were overheard stating it was urine. I'm sorry, I'm just now noticing an article in the money section of the Decatur Herald and Review about Milliken and Hartland reaching an agreement. Let me at least get a couple paragraphs in. Heartland Community College students who transfer to Milliken University in Decatur before completing their associate degrees will be able to obtain these degrees later under an agreement signed Tuesday between the two schools. Under the reverse transfer agreement, Milliken will send transcripts to Heartland indicating what courses the student had completed at Milliken. Once those courses fulfill the requirements for an associate's degree, Heartland will award the degree the student has earned at no charge to the student. Okay, that's all pretty cool. I wish I had seen it earlier and we could have gotten the whole article, but I think you get the drift. This has been Ruth McCauley reading news from the Decatur area for Thursday, August 18th. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to joining with you again next week to hear what's up in Decatur. Until that time, this has been Ruth. Y'all have a great day and take care.